Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, whose vision is to deliver world-class care, making life better for the communities they are privileged to serve. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so residents can live life better here. San Juan Regional Medical Center, community owned and operated, here for you. KSJE is supported by J.A. Jewelers, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and blessed holiday season. J.A. Jewelers has been providing custom jewelry, engagement rings, and more for special occasions since 2006. They carry a full line of jewelry for men and women, including wedding bands, gemstone jewelry, watches, and more. J.A. Jewelers, located at 2909 East 20th Street in Farmington. Find out more on Facebook or at jajewels.com. And back in Studio A with my guest this morning, as I mentioned, from San Juan Regional Medical Center. Welcome back to KSJE. The Reverend Linda Stetter is here, chaplain at San Juan Regional. Good morning, and thank you for coming in.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
It's a joy to be back, Scott.
Thank you for coming back. You bet. Great to see you. Also, Tammy Cagle is here. She is the licensed clinical social worker at San Juan Regional Medical Center. And Tammy, welcome back to you. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you both
for
being here. You bet. And this topic today is really, really important. And I'm not sure if we talk about it enough, but especially at this time of year, it seems to be particularly poignant, I think, and really impactful for the elderly folks in our lives to maybe, you know, think about how they're doing and really maybe pay closer attention to how they are doing. Linda Stetter, I mean, this is something that I know you deal with in your job 12 months of the year, not just at Christmas time, of course.
That's correct. And we always appreciate seeing our elders at the hospital when they need care.
Of course.
And, you know, you think about it, they're beloved. They're the matriarchs and the patriarchs of our families. And we want to take very good care of them always, but they need a little special TLC for a lot of reasons during the holiday season because it's so stressful to everybody. It's stressful for their caregivers, and there's just so much noise and so much party and so much everything going on that it can really overload them emotionally. And it's also the winter time when we see more flu, more UTIs, more other kinds of infections, and we need to really make sure that we're paying attention to that so that they can get care as early as possible so they don't get too sick during this very special time of year.
Got you. And I guess maybe part of the issue maybe is if they live on their own, that could be a concerning factor perhaps because maybe they don't think anything is really wrong or it's just going to go away in a couple of days or what have you, but it could develop into something more serious.
Right. Yeah, we all think, I think, well, oh, it's just a headache or it's just a tummy ache and I'll be better tomorrow, and sometimes we're not. But that brings up the whole emotional issue of loneliness,
right?
Which Tammy sees a lot.
Yes. Tammy, chime in on that, please.
Absolutely. So we know that 25% of elders are living on their own, and we know that they're at high risk category for suicide rates. So isolation, depression, being ill, nobody there to take care of them is very, it gets them depressed, and they come in, The issue here in this community is we don't have a BHU for these folks, so we have to send them out. So often...
A BHU, pardon me, behavioral health unit.
Yes, so often they may not come in for help because they're going to be shipped out to Las Cruces, and that's a burden in itself.
Right.
So there's barriers to getting care for these folks that are often isolated and alone.
Right.
So, yeah.
And some of those issues about depression, I mean, even we hear that even wintertime, right? I mean, even for anyone, we seem to hear about more cases of depression during the winter months, maybe because we lose that sunshine that we enjoy so much. And we're lucky here in New Mexico to have it most of the days of the year, maybe not this week. But that's another, I guess, seasonal issue as well, along with the holidays, just adding one more thing on top of it, right? With holiday stress and the things that Reverend Stetter was talking about. And then you have the other seasonal depression and things along that line, I guess, true, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know folks with dementia, even if it's not severe, I think it's really important in the holiday season that we include them in our holiday spirits as mm-hmm. far as like cooking and maybe outings. But we also want to keep a routine with these folks to keep anxiety down, to they may get agitated if they're not on their routines. So I think those things are very important. And if you see a decrease in appetite, sleep, you may want to have them get a checkup and make sure everything's okay.
Right.
Right. And from a physical point of view, it's not a lot of fun, you know, to load somebody up or have to go to the doctor when it's cold mm-hmm. and you have to wear extra clothes. But it's so incredibly important to make those primary care appointments, to make the dental appointments, to make the eye appointments. Just recently, I've seen a number of patients in our emergency room who have come to us from dentists, from eye doctors, mm-hmm. from primary care, from specialists, from urgent care, because they think they have something simple and they go to a caregiver, a provider, mm-hmm. and they find out it's something more serious, and they send them immediately to us for care. So it sometimes it's tough in the middle of the holiday routines to make those appointments, but mm-hmm. it is so incredibly important to pay attention to even small changes, as Tammy was saying, in their health.
Right. Very true. And I think, too, of course, we know a lot of our elderly have maybe some chronic health conditions anyway. And so then this just kind of, again, stacks on top of what they're already maybe dealing with, whether it's heart condition or mm-hmm. arthritis or whatever the case may be. This is just one more thing to be aware of. And for the elderly, I guess that can be kind of annoying and frustrating, too.
Right, because nobody likes to go to the doctor and nobody likes to go to the hospital, but sometimes it's necessary. And you were talking about what we call, the technical word for it is comorbidities, when you have a lot going on.
Thank you.
I call it the Dagwood sandwich is what mm-hmm. I call
okay.
it. If you remember the cartoon with Dagwood
Blondie
and
Dagwood, yes,
going
right.
to the refrigerator in the
yes.
middle of the night and stacking, you know,
it was like 3 feet tall.
Right. And it's kind of, and you get things that are layered, and then pretty soon it gets to be a real big burden for everybody.
Right. And Tammy, how does that impact the individual, but then I guess maybe the family of the individual too, right? That's just, one more thing we have to deal with for mom or dad or whomever, right?
Right. And what we do see, what I see often is they over-medicate their loved ones. So they feel like they're agitated, so they'll give them more medication and possibly cause more harm, and the agitation may just be coming because they're not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really important that we maybe take a temperature, see if they are taking it. Are they going to the bathroom often enough? You know, having just regular things, you know, just keeping an eye on, you know, how they're feeling in general.
Right.
And are they drinking and eating enough? We
Absolutely.
See a lot of dehydration this
yep,
time
we
of
do.
Year. And there are so many ways to kind of help them out in a graceful and gracious mm-hmm. way. It's a great idea, as Tammy said, to have them in the kitchen if they're able, chopping mm-hmm. vegetables and being a part of those wonderful conversations, preparing food that they've always enjoyed at holiday time so that something feels familiar and good to them.
Maybe their recipe, right?
Absolutely. Bringing out the scrapbooks and the photograph albums. Everything's digital now, but a lot of them have photograph albums, and so that if they, instead of giving them a pill for agitation, sit them down and let them walk down memory lane and do a little life review, and mm-hmm. and everybody learns from those stories.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
it's easy mm-hmm. to give them alternatives to medicines.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
Music. is one of the one things that I've noticed that really, it's a mood altering, right? It's mood altering and getting...
But is it not, but it has to be specific, right? A specific type of music, maybe from their youth or their era that would maybe be more, more meaningful than maybe something popular today.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do, absolutely. And their favorite holiday music.
And... Right.
And it may be Bing Crosby or something, but wherever the era that they found most exciting in life, if you can go back and play music from then. Sometimes people with dementia who haven't spoken a lot will open up and say entire sentences because it brings back.
Because of the music.
Yes.
Right. It's a trigger or something,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it triggers a special place in the brain, and it connects, and because it's something that was near and dear to their heart at a special time in their life. And
right.
If you can connect that, that's a very special thing that you can do for your elders during the holidays.
Very true. Good
yeah,
point.
I want to give props to the caretakers, the caregivers,
right.
Because I think they need to also practice some self-care and mindfulness during this time. It's really stressful trying to take care of your family and an elder you may not even recognize anymore. I think that's really, you know, key to helping these families.
Right. I think true. If there's a dementia situation maybe going on, that can be difficult at the holiday time, and you want to include the elderly relative in a lot of the family events and things like that, but it just feels different, but still really important maybe to do that. And as you mentioned though for the caregivers, I think that's really important for them to maintain their self-care and spend some time on themselves too.
Right. And also I think going back to the elders real quick.
Yeah.
So we do have to pay real close attention to them because a lot of times they don't want to burden their children. I hear that a lot. I didn't want to say anything. I don't want to burden them. And so we really need to pay extra attention during this time and making sure that our elders are doing okay.
Right. Very true. And Linda Stetter, you mentioned how to maybe talk about some of these things in a graceful way and maybe bring them up. And do you have any mm-hmm. suggestions maybe for family members or caregivers to talk to mom or dad or grandma or grandpa about, you know, are things going okay? Are you feeling all right? Or how do we bring that up, I guess, you know, without embarrassing them or making them uncomfortable?
Or making them feel like you're interrogating them.
Right, right.
Yeah, there are many things, especially if you're going to have other family members around who may not have seen them in a little while. It's a good idea to prepare them ahead of time.
The other family members.
Yes.
Yes.
So when they come and ring the doorbell and come in, they know they're prepared for the level of dementia, what's important to that person, and to gracefully kind of float, have kind of a mini schedule of floating somebody through to sit with that person in that person's comfortable place and kind of so that the person gets to meet everybody. But that's a gentle way of everybody being watchful.
Right.
And saying, so, how's your foot? Yeah, looks like your nose is running. Can I help you? Whatever. But very gracefully. And if it's done carefully by the whole family during the day, then it doesn't stick out as kind of, like Tammy said, not being very dignified and making the person feel like they might be a burden. That's not a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we don't want them sitting alone in the corner either.
Right.
Because that doesn't help either.
That goes back to that isolation that Tammy was talking about. And from a spiritual point of view, I can tell you that people who are severely isolated, and we've all probably had experiences where we felt very alone, even in a crowd. We just mm-hmm. felt like we didn't fit in, and we sensed it.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of isolation makes the person feel like they've lost their place in the family, their sense of purpose. And when you lose your sense of belonging and purpose, you die sooner.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
They don't feel seen. They feel invisible. And we hear that a lot in the mental health field, that these folks, baby boomers now, are feeling unseen, unheard. And so we have to make sure that we validate them.
Right, right. Yeah. That's really important. And I would think, too, Reverend Stetter, if the individual maybe has more of a religious faith, a very strong faith, that maybe that would be something that, the families can do, maybe go to Christmas Eve services or what have you, if that would be a special thing for maybe they haven't been to church in a while, if they're home alone and things like that. Is that something maybe that can be helpful?
Right. I hear a lot of elders say, oh, I just haven't been able to go to church since before COVID. So if you can make a way to honor their faith tradition at this holiday time, whatever they used to do. Sometimes, and this is where caregivers can help themselves and the elder, by giving themselves permission to modify the tradition. Sometimes you can't do it the way you did it 15 years ago, but you can modify it in a way that it still brings back the good feelings and works for people. So caregivers have to give themselves permission to cut themselves some slack, mm-hmm. and perhaps the person with dementia couldn't take in the whole experience anyway, but they get the flavor of it.
Right.
So that's a big help to everybody.
And I think that's great advice for just any of us who are a little stressed at the holiday season. And well, we've always done it like this. We've always had the tree trimming party on Christmas Eve, or we've always done this in this way, but maybe change it a little bit, maybe amend it, or just make it a little more workable in the modern situation. If you've got elderly relatives coming to visit and mm-hmm. things that maybe you can't do it the way you've always done it, but you can still do something similar that has meaning and value to the family.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the other thing we need to be careful about too, when we're talking to people with more advanced dementia, because they're living at some point in the past, and if they remember something that's not quite right, it's important not to try to correct them, mm-hmm. not to argue with them, because that's humiliating to them, and they are where they are, and we need to go meet them where they are. And
right.
and just listen and smile and be glad they are having a good time remembering whatever they're remembering.
True. And that can be hard for folks to maybe understand, I think, if they're not around that person all mm-hmm. the time or as much, right, to keep mm-hmm. that in mind,
right.
to
yeah.
do that. Tammy?
It's very difficult. I mean, my own grandmother didn't recognize me at all mm-hmm. when she passed. She had
really
severe form of Alzheimer's, and it's heart-wrenching for these families, and they have to process and watching their loved ones decline. And so I would say join a group, a caregivers group, could be very helpful. Ask for help when mm-hmm. you need it, and take breaks. Go do something fun and for yourself.
True.
Because it's a very difficult time.
That's important. There is actually a very special name for the kind of grief that, because caregiving is the hardest job anybody mm-hmm. will ever do. It's 24/7, and people wouldn't change what they've done for their elder, but nevertheless, it's the most difficult, loving job mm-hmm. you'll ever, ever do. Mm-hmm. And there is a very special name in the grief world. It's called ambiguous grief.
Oh.
And it's a special kind of anticipatory grieving, and then grieving that continues to go on mm-hmm. because the person is there, but you're losing that person a tiny bit each mm-hmm. day. It's like an eraser is erasing mm-hmm. Some of it. And so you grieve every day. The loss, it looks like the person, mm-hmm. but it isn't the person,
right.
or maybe they're physically not able anymore, but they still have their mental status. There's something missing. They're losing mm-hmm. little bits every day, and that's a very special kind of protracted grief, and Tammy is right. Mm-hmm. That will go on forever, and you need help for that. It's okay to cut yourself some slack and get some help.
Right, mm-hmm. and understand that that's normal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's
not just you that's feeling
right.
it.
No, it's mm-hmm. the way our nervous systems and our emotional systems are set up. We grieve when we lose things and people that are important.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we need somebody to walk alongside us and help us in that time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. very true. Very true. We hear sometimes, too, that maybe elderly individuals are having a good day or a bad day, or it's not so much of a good day today, and today's the day of the party. So is there any advice on how to deal with that? You've got, you know, folks coming over and mom's not having a good day. How can we help?
A lot of the caregivers in home health entities recommend having a silent room in your house, and I think this might work for everybody
right.
too.
Just, and that sounds like a great idea to me.
Just a room where you can go and just be quiet for a few minutes when you're starting to feel overloaded, and that person can be there in the quiet, and people can come in
to visit.
But it's away from the confusion and the emotional and mental overload.
All the stimulus, I guess, of a house full of people at the holidays, right?
Right.
Yeah. But even just putting up decorations, so people with dementia, they do well when the space is the same and they know how to get around the house. And then you put up a Christmas tree, that may cause some agitation. So we have to just be really mindful of these things. And I think that sometimes we have to be flexible. If we're out and your loved one gets agitated, be ready to leave. I mean, we, you know, just like anybody else, you don't feel good, you want to leave the space. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Tammy. I think that, you know, if we're out and, you know, we're going to a holiday dinner at a restaurant or something and it's not going well or just something is happening, I mean, I think it's understandable to either try to leave or maybe go to a quieter place for a moment, maybe to see if that helps. Was that something maybe could be helpful?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard getting around right now during the holidays. Everybody's out shopping and going out to eat, and you want to bring your mother or your father, and, you know, even though they may be altered. But you just have to be mindful that those types of things could be it can provoke anxiety, you know, in these folks. So we probably want to limit that, those activities this time of year.
Yeah. Makes sense. And be flexible, I think, I guess, is the other kind of underlying theme I'm hearing from both of you this morning.
And the experts say have a plan before you go to the restaurant. Oh, know that there's a high likelihood that this person won't be able to sit there for and make sure you're going somewhere where the service is fairly fast. But have a plan ahead of time so it doesn't become a big, I'll take the person. No, you take the person. A kerfuffle that really embarrasses the person. So just have a plan, just like you do when you have a baby or a small child. You have a plan.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's important to set up. And again, I guess just a little bit of thinking ahead of time can really avoid a lot of these maybe situations that you're describing, whether at home or outside of the home.
That's correct.
At the holiday time or any time of the year. So that's really important. We just have a few minutes remaining this morning, both of you. This has really been a lot of good, I think, useful advice for folks, especially with the holidays coming up, and just to remember about our elderly relatives and loved ones and how we can make them feel comfortable and still include them in a lot of the things that we're going to be doing this holiday season. I think that's a really important thing, and not just, you know, keep them at their home and maybe put them on, you know, call them and say hello, but try to really involve them more. Tammy, is there anything else to add?
Yeah, I just when we were, you know, doing COVID, we were asking to please reach out to your neighbor. So if you know your neighbor's elderly and alone, just reach out. Go knock on a door and see how they're doing. I think that would be really nice. And
Well, that's critically important. Yeah, I mean, just because COVID is gone doesn't mean we shouldn't be reaching out to people that we know are alone at any age.
Yeah,
but especially our elders.
Right.
So
we can still be good neighbors.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we can.
You're
I just can't stress enough, be very attuned to the physical well-being, because being sick can also trigger other emotional and behavioral things, but just try to be attuned, get the person to care sooner rather than later. Our doctors love it. We are your hospital. We love taking care of elders at our hospital, and we're always very happy to treat them and release them home when we catch something early. So that's the best way to enjoy the holidays, is not to have an elder in the hospital.
Right. Very true.
When they could be at home.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Very, very true. Wonderful. Tammy, any last thoughts this morning?
Yeah, I just want to touch on the mental health part of this with these elders. I think bringing them in, even if, I mean, we don't have a BHU here, but it's
that behavioral health unit.
Right. It's so important that they tend to their mental health as well as their physical health. And we have agencies out here in the community that can help with that. If your elder's not sleeping, not eating, maybe they're more tearful than normal, because a lot of times with dementia, they're tearful, but if something's changed, bring them in.
Right.
Physical or mental health-wise.
Because even if we don't have a behavioral health unit, we still have behavioral health professionals in the community that can provide a level of support in these situations, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's important.
And then they
to remember.
Can be screened in the emergency room through our psychiatrist can see mm-hmm. them and see if they need that level of care. Mm-hmm. So that's really important too. They will get some help from the hospital. So I think that's important too.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody's going to have peace of mind because they're going to get checked out physically, make sure mm-hmm. they don't need it. And I think we have some of the most compassionate, loving nurses on the planet at San Juan Regional. That even though they're busy in the emergency room, they really do connect with our elders. And they so at the minimum, if an elder comes into our emergency room, they're going to get a physical checkup. They're going to get screened for behavioral mm-hmm. health. And they're just going to get some TLC mm-hmm. from people. And that never hurts.
Right. Very true. No, I think healthcare is a special calling for a lot of folks who are in that profession. And mm-hmm. we appreciate the work that they do day in and day out. So thank you both for coming in this morning and sharing really this important advice and information for our audiences today. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to yeah, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. My guest this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center with me here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.